Hey, my first guest today is Randy Evans. He's a former editorial page editor for the Des Moines Register and the president of the Iowa Freedom of Information Council, and still very active and still writing very provocative columns, a lot of them to do with the First Amendment. Randy, welcome to the program.
Ed, it's good to be with you.
Now, we want to talk about this situation with the Des Moines City Council and the new police chief, but I just saw out today your column about another city in Iowa, a small city, Newton, Iowa, where a disgruntled Newton resident, Mr. Peterson, took his concerns to the city council a while back and was basically told to shut up, sit down and shut up.
He literally
didn't. He was arrested. And now that case has become a real First Amendment bellwether for our, you know, our conversation. What are your thoughts on that situation?
Well, I think it's going to end up costing the taxpayers of Newton money because of the actions of the mayor and police chief in trying to silence Noah Peterson, who went to the city council, spoke calmly. He didn't cause a disruption, but he was critical of city officials in the operation of the police department.
Critical to the extent of name-calling?
Initially, no, he was just expressing his concerns, and in a subsequent meeting where he went back after being arrested and handcuffed and charged with a crime, he went back to another council meeting, and he said the mayor and the police were acting like fascists, which, you know, you're allowed to criticize government in the United States. That's what the whole First Amendment's all about.
Right.
You know, you're not the only people who get to speak at a city council meeting don't have to be there to praise city government or city fathers. And it took a Jasper County magistrate not long to find him not guilty on the criminal charges, but that has now led to a civil rights lawsuit against the city that Mr. Peterson has filed. The chief federal judge in the Southern District of Iowa has said basically that the city officials violated Mr. Peterson's First Amendment rights, and now the only question is how much they're going to have to pay.
Wow. And so what was the original bee that got under Peterson's bonnet, so to speak? What bothered him that compelled him to come to the city council meeting and complain?
He was troubled by the way some police officers in Newton were treating friends of his. He was concerned that a police officer in Newton had been accused of domestic abuse allegations, and the sort of opinions that people might have in a community like Newton is, you know, where they want to express their opinions about how they think government ought to be acting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I remind groups when I speak to them around the state, government belongs to the citizens. It does not belong to the elected and employed officials of a government.
I thought it belonged to the special interests that funded their campaigns.
Well, that's a topic for another discussion.
Okay, right. You know, so this transpired in Newton, what, last year, I believe.
But the federal judge's ruling just came out last month.
And so more recently, we've had another First Amendment concern arise in the city of Des Moines, again, a much bigger city of over 200,000 people. And this was relevant not to comments made at a meeting by a resident, but to the procedure by which the Des Moines City Council opted to hire a new police chief.
Perhaps.
Perhaps. Do I misstate it?
No. Because we don't really know. So what this involves is the decision by the city council to pay a now former major on the Des Moines Police Department, Lily Parker, $975,000 to settle demands that she had made in a letter that you and I and every other citizen of Des Moines is not allowed to see, in which she apparently, her attorney made allegations about discriminatory treatment or mistreatment.
And she's female, she's black.
She's
also got a long tenure on the police department, correct?
She's been on the department 20-plus years. She was a candidate for the recent vacancy for police chief. And
she was one of eight, I believe, correct?
One of the eight finalists.
Right.
And in the Des Moines Civil Service Commission, which went through, interviewed, and scoring the application, she ranked at the top of the list.
You mean first?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She didn't get the job. In January of this year, her attorney sent what is called a demand letter to the city, expressing concern about the way she was treated. It's unclear
whether...
Treated by who? We don't know whether it was treated by her peers on the police department. We don't know whether it was the command staff at the police department. We don't know whether it was officers who were under her. We don't know whether it was administrators at City Hall or the city council members. We don't know, but it's the city council agreed to pay her $975,000.
Hush money, essentially?
Well, the agreement, I wouldn't use that term, but I would point out that the agreement includes an extensive confidentiality clause that prohibits her or any employees of the city from commenting on either the contents of her letter or the allegations
okay.
she made.
Hush money.
If you want to be simple.
Yeah, I do. I love being simple. Okay, so I'm trying to... Let me go back one more question. Who is ultimately responsible for deciding who to hire as the new chief? Obviously, the recommendation of the civil servant... What's it called again? The
Civil Service Commission.
Civil Service Commission. That didn't amount to much. She was ranked first out of eight, and apparently...
Right.
And she went beyond that.
Chief McTaggart, who was selected by the city manager, Scott Sanders, basically with the approval of the city council, he ranked seventh on the list of eight.
So it's the city manager who made the decision to skip over.
Correct. But what has been made public, which is very little, it is not obvious whether it was the city council or whether it was the city's decision to pick a different person as police chief or whether it was ongoing treatment that she had received as a major on the police department.
Okay.
And that's where my concern is, that the taxpayers of Des Moines are the ones who are going to come up with $975,000.
Right.
But crazy. They're being kept in the dark about what the reasons are. We don't know whether this was a very logical, reasonable decision on the part of the city council. We don't know whether the officers on the Des Moines Police Department, we don't know who or how this mistreatment occurred.
So the city manager recommended Michael McTaggart as the new police chief over Lily Parker, and the city council had to ratify that recommendation from the...
In effect.
And what was the city council vote?
I don't think there was any opposition to it.
Okay, it was unanimous.
Yeah.
Okay. Given the kerfuffle that you have raised, and rightfully, and thank you, you're one of our strongest defenders of the First Amendment here in Iowa. And given the additional attention that you brought to this, Has any city council member said, yeah, maybe we should look at this again?
No, because the agreement that they signed, that Scott Sanders signed at the authorization of the city council, basically closes the case on this. And, you know, if the city were to, try to back out of it, it could, I assuming, lead to litigation. And to me, this is government right now, local government in Iowa is under tremendous pressure to do all that the citizens want it to do at a time when the legislature is kind of tightening the spigot on property taxes.
The legislature and other restrictions coming from the federal government. Yeah. And that's affecting states all over the country.
So when you spend almost $1 million without any explanation of the rationale or the basis for this decision, I think it undermines public respect and credibility for government.
Yeah, it sure does. And so does... Did the vote to put to appoint McTaggart as the new police chief, did that happen concurrently with the decision to give Lily Parker nearly $1 million?
No.
Were separate rulings, separate decisions.
Chief McTaggart was hired in October of 2024.
Well, that long ago.
And so the concerns that were voiced in the letter to the city manager by Major Parker's attorney, that came in January, mm-hmm. and the letter became public when the settlement was ready for ratification.
Okay.
So there was not an opportunity for the public to weigh in, to ask questions, to demand answers. By the time the public had the opportunity, it was a done deal.
Nobody spoke at the meeting when McTaggart was first appointed.
Not that I'm aware of. And I think Chief McTaggart had a very, strong reputation of service. His tenure was about as long as Major Parker's.
Right. Even though he was listed seventh by the Civil Service Commission.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's hard to sort all this out, but you probably have filed more Freedom of Information requests than anybody I know, possibly anybody, probably more than anyone else in Iowa. Will a Freedom of Information request turn up the information we need to understand what really went on behind the scenes and why the local taxpayers are on the hook for nearly $1 million?
I don't believe that a public records request is going to have any success. Until the legislature changes the law to require there to be transparency about these kinds of significant expenses that government is entering into, and until the people of Des Moines stand up and tell the city council that, and the Des Moines School Board as well. We can talk about that some other time.
Right,
but until the public rises up and says, this is our money you're spending, we demand to know what's going on and to make their opinions known when they cast their ballots for city council members.
It seems to be a problem across various levels of government, and not just in Iowa, too, but around the country. I mean, here you've mentioned the City Council of Des Moines, of course, City Council in Newton, Iowa. The Des Moines School Board, which was that was quite a fiasco, and also Polk County, the government in Polk County, what's transpired there in terms of some level of secrecy and some really big payouts to kind of keep everybody happy.
Well, and I will give you the shorthand version of the Des Moines School Board. You're thinking of the superintendent. I'm thinking of the chief academic officer, who is the number two person. Robert London, his contract runs out at the end of June. He's being paid $195,000 a year. He has not worked He has not set foot in his office at the Des Moines School District since October.
And he's getting paid nearly $200,000.
He's getting paid nearly $200,000 to not work. His contract, he will be done. His resignation takes effect then. There has been no explanation for why the school district is paying him when they say there is no misconduct.
And you've asked.
I have asked.
And what's their response? We don't have to tell you?
That there was no misconduct. They're saying there was no misconduct on his part. And so, but their answer is that they're not going to tell us.
And how can they not tell you legally? They're a publicly funded, elected
body. You ask excellent questions, Ed.
Well, that's why they pay me the big. Oh, they don't pay me the big bucks. Never mind. But yeah, why? Well, how do they get away with this?
Because in the working world, you would not be allowed. They would not pay you.
To not work.
If you were resigning through no and you were not guilty of any infractions, they would expect you either to your paycheck to end when you walked out the door, or to continue to show up and do work. Because $200,000, you think about, a Des Moines school teacher who's making $50,000 to $55,000 a year. That's a lot of teachers. And the Des Moines School District is under similar kinds of financial pressure. The people in the community need to stand up and take charge of their government.
And what kind of response have you had from the local residents as you raised awareness of this issue?
Lots of feedback.
All positive? I mean,
yeah, generally, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anybody saying, Randy, you're off base, they did exactly what they were supposed to do?
No, the closest it would come would be responses along the lines of, I'm sure they must have had a good reason, but that's hardly a rousing defense.
Please share that good reason with us.
Well, and I think that's what the citizens are entitled to.
Is there any way to get the city council to revisit their decision and vote? Just force a vote on whether they can be more transparent about.
I'm stumped. I think what is more likely to happen is there. You may well see other Des Moines police officers bringing similar kinds of lawsuits. And if I were the attorney for one of those police officers, I would get Lily Parker on the witness stand. And that is the only way I know of that she's going to be obligated to share her experiences.
So there will be city council elections in Des Moines next year, 2027. Do you see this an issue? This is an issue that candidates might raise and that might resonate with the public?
I think it certainly could resonate because, there are lots of expenses that government has that people have concerns about. They're concerned about the size of city government. City officials are concerned about how to make the budget balanced. But when you spend $1 million and you don't share with the taxpayers, it is not instilling trust and confidence in our leadership.
And it's not the way nearly all of us expect the First Amendment to be understood and practiced.
I would agree. The government belongs to the people, and people ought to be able to engage with their government.
All right. Hey, Randy, thank you so much for joining us.
It's always a pleasure, Ed.
Folks, Randy Evans of the Iowa Freedom of Information Council.